Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, Jackie Cation here. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's November or December of 2022. You're about to listen to the Dork Forest. My name is Jackie Cation. The website's, of course, jackiecation.com, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you enjoy a determiner. Anyway, November and December, I ask that you do not donate to the Dork Forest, that instead you donate to your local food bank, because it's a nice holiday kind of wintery thing to do. And if you don't know where your local food bank is, you can go to feedingamerica.org, or you can Google the words that are your town's name and the word food bank. Hey, sarcasm. JackieCation.com is where everything is linked. Like if you go to dorkforest.com, you can see all the notes and it'll link you to the YouTube videos for the Dork Forest and the and Apple podcasts, and it's on Stitcher. It's on all the things. Anyway, so JackieCation.com will link you to everything. Dork Forest will link you back to JackieCation.com and to everything else. There is merch. If you have some sort of holiday wish to purchase a Dork Forest t-shirt, the logo is now on a black shirt with the logo in that bright green that the Ranger t-shirt used to be. Sold out of the Ranger shirts, discontinued. Also, I have some stand-up shirts that are squish t-shirts. If you wanted a Meat Shield t-shirt, I have limited sizes left, but that's still a benefit for to help immigrants and anti-racism stuff. So if you want, go look around JackieCation.com store for your store needs. I also have a new album out that's playing almost nowhere. That's right, because of legal issues with something called Spoken Giants. Very disappointing. So the special itself is on YouTube, on the 800 Pound Gorilla YouTube channel, linkable off of JackieCation.com. You could also get a DVD or a CD at JackieCation.com. The CD itself is listenable at places where you can buy it. So at Apple iTunes and at Amazon Music. You could also stream it there. If you buy it, I make more money. But if you want to stream it, do whatever you want. But it's not on Pandora. It's not on Spotify. It's not on Sirius XM. And neither are my four other albums. But do whatever you want because it's your life. There we go. What else is happening? I'm touring. I'm doing a lot of stand-up on the road. Feel free to come. Feel free to sign up for the email list at JackieCation.com. Harder to get on because you got to find how you put it in then to get off, which is you scroll and hit unsubscribe. But all of these things are available on JackieCation.com. I'm coming to do stand-up probably near you, if not near you, near someone you love. Tell them. Anyway, let's dork out about something. Let's get into the show. Oh my gosh, I'm back in my garage. It's me, Jackie Cation. It's the Dork Forest, you guys. And returning, Justin I can't get the syllables right. Moharabib. Nope.
Moharib.
What? How did I? Fuck me.
Moharib.
It's late. It's early. It's Christmas. It's a thing where there's. Do you ever get the impression that you can't do anything right? I'm living in it. And yet I'm doing so many things right. I know it, Justin. I know. You've been on the program before. Exactly.
Yes.
We just saw each other again in Toronto. I meant to have coffee with you. Fail.
Very busy. You're a very busy person.
That's right.
You did a lot of meetings with very important people.
I had a lot.
You hosted a seminar. You did a show.
I did. Yes, I did a seminar. Did you? That seminar is so funny to me because it's of value. I would say it is of value because it's essentially, I'm stating the obvious that comics should know, not to, you know, to be on time, to pretend that this is a job, you know.
Yes.
To do all the things. Pretend there's HR breathing down your neck at all times while you, not when you're on stage, but when you're off stage.
So, oh, God, on stage, that might be weird.
On stage might be inhibiting. But off stage, it just means you show up on time. You try not to screw your coworkers, and you make sure that you get paid. So these things, HR is there for you too, I don't know a lot about HR. So yeah,
it usually is not, to be deadly.
Well, they're there for the, they're there for the, ooh, big truck is going through my alley. You may hear it. But the HR, I think, is a lot like the security at a comedy club, where it's there for the company. It's there for the club.
Yeah.
It's not really there for the employees. It's not really there for the comics. It's there for other people and things. Okay. But this particular time, I can't remember what we talked about last time. I think it was, might have been Marvel, I think.
Last time it was the Marvel Cinematic Universe, phases 1 through 3.
Oh, there you go. And then Andy did an episode about phase 4. And now he's written so many notes on your notes that I know he wants to sit in, and I'm surprised he has not, quite honestly. Usually he just invites himself on to these kind of episodes.
Yeah, he'll probably come by and say, I'm going to the store. Anything I can get you? Oh, you're in the middle of the show.
Oh, you're in the middle. Why don't you take over? I'll say to him. But so these are TBG, sorry, which is what? Table? No.
That's the bitter guide to superhero role-playing games.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So, So Justin Mahareb.
Yeah.
I'm going to ethnic it up, and I should be able to do it right. Mahareb. There we go. Justin Mahareb is at the bitter guy on Twitter, and probably at the bitter guy on everything else, right?
As many things as I can get, but usually it's just my regular name.
Okay.
But,
his regular name will be in the notes.
Yeah. While Twitter persists.
Yes.
I could be found there.
You could be found there. What is tabletopbellhop.com/gamereviews/9SuperheroRPGs?
That was just a URL I found to an article about 9 fairly current superhero role-playing games.
Oh, okay.
I read it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know a lot about these because, you know,
have you played,
like most things.
Have you played this Marvel role-playing game, the TSR Basic and Advanced?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you're...
Right. If I'm going to pick one, that was my big one.
And when did that come into being?
That was released in the 80s. I have a show that came out in 1984.
Okay.
So.
All right.
And I started playing it, and I believe the advanced version came out a few years later, 86, when I was 13 in high school.
And can you be whoever?
Yes.
You can be... Deep, you can go deep into the long boxes. You can,
oh, so deep,
really,
so deep. Oh,
that's awesome. Why, how did they do it, and why is it not everywhere? Andy has written here, beloved by all,
yes.
Phase RIP system. What's FASE RIP?
He's getting ahead of us here. Oh my god, Andy Ashcraft. You want to get into this, you get into this. Otherwise,
just these cryptic, exactly, these cryptic notes that just, go ahead.
No, phase rip are the core attributes that each character have. That stands for fighting, agility, strength, endurance, reason, intuition, and psyche.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You add up the physical stats, fighting, agility, strength, and endurance, to give you your character's health. And your reason, intuition, and psyche gives you your character's karma, which is used to modify dice rolls during play. Oh,
and what kind of dice do you use? Are they?
It is
all the
you
normal
2d10.
Oh, just
oh no, okay. 2d10. You use. I don't know if this is. Oh God, no. That just
that's never going to show.
Yeah, there is a table,
okay.
And it has 1 to 100 and. It, you know, you roll, there's various, let me just take a look. It's been a bit since I looked at it.
Sure. But like you, yeah, let me.
That's not even the right table. There you go.
I'll bring up Mighty Dice. I'll write two, yes. I'll roll two D10s.
Yes.
And then you tell me what happens.
All right. So say you are, let me just flip
a
random.
A 2 and a 9.
29. All right. Well, you see, normally that would not be great. Say you're Captain America with his amazing fighting.
Right.
That would succeed. That would get a green result.
Okay. Which is
which would mean he would hit. And,
okay.
Yes, green means go. And that would get him, that would mean he hits his opponent.
Okay.
Doing his strength damage plus any modifiers for, say, striking them with his mighty shield.
Right. Or a super serumed fist.
Yes.
And,
oh, yeah. Or just with his fist.
And then what happens? Now that I've rolled that 29.
And then that strength is deducted from your opponent's health.
Ah, okay. So, and it can be anywhere. Like if I rolled an 89, it would also hit.
Yes. If you had rolled an 89, that would have been a yellow result, which means he would have, in fact, in addition to just hitting an opponent, slammed him, which would have knocked him back.
Oh, okay.
Caused him to fly across
it just,
the room.
So it's giving, it's flavor text is what the thing's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's telling you that you hit him in both cases, but it's just giving you sort of something to role play off of.
So you're like, no, it does. It gives various results. Like there, you know, for example, amazing. From 0-1 to 25, it's a white. It's a miss. From 26 to 55, it's a green. It's a hit.
Okay.
56 to 90 is a yellow, a good hit.
Okay.
And a red is 91 to 100.
Okay.
So you've got a 10% chance of getting that red hit, which is
knockout.
It's a stun. Yeah, you can probably knock somebody out with that.
Okay. So when you play this, do they have things that are written sort of, or is there a game master, a DM, a dungeon, a game master who's got to tell you, well, you're in Metropolis, or do you say, well, I want to be in Chicago. I can be in Chicago.
Well, that's generally what you'd set up ahead of time. You know, you'd set up
the
game world with at the table, and then the GM would run the adventures there, and he'd say, oh, look, it's Ultron, and he's trying to do this evil plot, or it's Doctor Doom.
And you're working from a book of monsters? Are you booking from like a separate villain book? Kind of thing?
Yes, there is a book full of villainous attributes.
Okay. And then you could, are they pre-built? Like, is Red Skull pre-built for you? Or is, can you build a Red Skull with other characteristics or other powers out of your villain list?
Well, I've got a copy actually of the villain book here. So, you know, you've got Red Skull and all of his
Red Skully glory.
All of his stats, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly weapons, you know, his Dust of Death.
Oh, okay. Oh, so they list, so they sort of, you look up the character, they tell you what that character really has at hand.
Yes.
And then you can build.
So there's pre-generated NPCs or player characters. If you want to play as a superhero, they've got a big list of them. And the available attributes expand in some of the supplements.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. I'm going to see. Is this even visible? Oh, good. That comes.
Almost.
Sort of shows.
There it is.
I fade in and out of existence. This is the Ultimate Powers book.
Yeah.
It's one of the books released for the Advanced Edition.
Okay.
And in it, there are 26,370 discrete powers.
Wow. Wait, how many? 26,000?
293 powers times 5 ranges. Not sure what that means. And 18 power levels. So they kind of exaggerate.
Okay.
But still, 200 powers.
At least 200 powers, which is still huge. Have you ever gone to a website called Hero Forge to make a character?
Oh, yes.
It's so kind of fun to just hang out. And you're like, no, I'm going to change the shoes on this person.
Yes.
And, you can literally, it's like a dollhouse. It's like a paper doll kind of thing with weapons.
Yes. And armor. And you can, it's like, I think you look better as a blonde. No, he works good as purple hair.
Yeah. And you can actually, for $50, get them, they'll 3D print them for you.
Print it. Does that include getting it painted too?
Don't know. Can't remember. All I remember is, because I've never done it, it's perfectly free. To make them and then print out a copy of them and then put it at the top of your character sheet. And I play one of the games, the game that Andy designed that we'll talk about later. So, but what's your favorite, like how long, who do you play with? How long does a game last? What's your faves?
As an unfortunate thing, I haven't actually played in a really long time.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah, it was my high school thing. And, you know, it's like, as it stands, you know, it's out of print. They stopped producing it in the early 90s.
Oh, did they? Well, they're fools.
Well, I'm sure Marvel had some things about, okay, now we want to charge you this much for the license.
I see. So it wasn't really published by Marvel.
It was published by TSR.
By TSR, who also does D&D?
Yes.
Okay.
Very same.
Okay. Huh. All right. Yeah, because Andy also wrote, it would be as big as D&D now if it had been supported for the last 40 years. He's clearly also feels strongly about this game.
It's wonderful. I think I was reading, there's a book called Designers and Dragons about the history of the industry. It's like five books. And the first book is like, you know, dozens of pages on the history of TSR. And I think at one point it mentions that the introduction of Marvel helped save the company during a lower point in its in its stuff. So, yeah.
Okay, so it did help them, but then they couldn't keep up with the licensing, probably.
I think that was probably the case. Or, you know, it was just like every role-playing game, you know, it's every game has a lifespan. And at one point, it's be like, oh, are we going to make a new edition? And they actually did. They made two editions of the Phase Rip edition. And then later on, they also produced the Saga version, which... no familiarity whatsoever. It happened when I was like totally, my head was turned the other way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
been there.
But apparently, it's very enjoyable. Some friends of mine really liked it when I brought up, you know, hey, superhero role playing game, let's chat about it on my Facebook a while ago. And some people were like, you know, did you try the Marvel Saga edition? And I'm like, no, sir.
And now that's out of print as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, what is Cosmos Cubed?
Cosmos Cubed was a really cool module series based around all the cosmic adventures flying through space. You were supposed to play like Asgardians and Eternals and all the big dudes, you know, any deities.
Right.
Sure, you know, Hercules could fit in there and, you know, put Iron Man in an obnoxiously overpowered piece of armor. And
a nice Dan Slott Fantastic Four. Sure.
Actually, the Fantastic Four probably would need to get juiced up a bit, other than maybe the Hulk.
Okay. All right.
I mean, other than the Thing.
Yeah.
Thing is like a pretty tough guy. But it's like, it was very high intensity. Like, you know, you're going to be fighting guys on the moon who are 50 foot tall.
Okay. So Colossus in D&D talk or whatever. Sort of the big guys. Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, basically they had a really neat thing where it's like, all right, I want to play my character, but he's like, you know, a Spider-Man level guy. And they're like, okay, boom, you get this cosmic upgrade, go punch a star or something. And
did you play that one or did you just read it and love it?
Read it, loved it. I actually, for a while they were producing, these books of, do you remember last time I mentioned Ohotmu, the official handbook of the Marvel Universe?
Yes, I do remember that.
Quite fortunate. I got myself a new set.
Ooh, congratulations.
To replace the ones my friend, Chris McEwen, stole in high school. Still angry.
Right. Still
30 years later.
Turns out, I'm talking to the bitter guy, you guys. It's Justin Muhadab, and it's at the bitter guy. Yes.
It's hard to resolve grudges that are raising. Well, you know, I'll forgive him someday. I'll be a good person someday.
Well, you have another copy, so it's all worked out.
If that was the only thing, perhaps. That was the extent of his perfidy, perhaps. But unfortunately.
Okay.
Basically all left my house.
Right.
All right. Not Chris. We're not talking about. He's not my dorkdom.
Right. Anyway. Exactly. You would have to love him.
Yes. So they made a character, a series of character books, basically the size of old school phone books that, you know, had like literally dozens of character stats in them. And I went through my copies and I took out all of the cosmic level heroes and I stuffed them into my copy of the first adventure in the Cosmos Cube series going, I'm going to get some people together. We're going to play this. Yeah. And it didn't happen, but I still got that downstairs.
Okay. So if you could just generate humans.
Yes.
Have you ever...
This being the,
Have you ever tried that thing where you hang, because we have board game stores here where there's a lot of Magic the Gathering happening, but there's also some regular tabletop stuff happening and regular board games happening. Have you tried lurking around there to find some more of your people?
I'm actually fairly fortunate to have a few groups that I am
that you're already playing, but not this particular system.
Not this. No, we have a variety of things. Just finished a Alien game actually the other day of the new Alien.
Was it the Legacy RPGs. Board game or was it just a regular board game?
Just no, an RPG. RPG.
Oh, okay. Because I saw the Alien board game yesterday when I went and bought Toys for Tots, and I was told to get Teenager Toys for Tots, which turns out are in my world are going to be board games, earbuds, and some hair products for girly girls, for like those who enjoy a shiny object. It's not me, but turns out no. I'm not buying a present for me. I'm buying a present for other people who enjoy other things. So I did go. We Andy and I and his mom. We all went. We bought. We were supposed to get infants and teenagers. And
there you go.
And so because I guess the middle bit is fine. It's the teenagers and infants that people tend to forget. Anyway, I digress.
Good ear for looking out for them.
Yeah. And it's, we don't have any kids, but we love to buy toys. So win, all over the place. And then we give them to the firefighter, who's always very young and very handsome. And then we walk away into the desert triumphantly. so you just haven't played this game. You played the Alien RPG. Who published that?
That's published by Modiphius, I think. It could be Free League. 50-50 chance.
You have on this, by the way, so many things, but not that. On your list of games that you really like?
I thought we would just focus on like the super heroic stuff.
Oh, right. Okay, well, fair enough. Though when you think about it, Aliens. She was a superhero. Sigourney Weaver?
Ripley was a bit superheroic, yeah.
Yeah. It's
my character was not that great.
No, but
she survived, but she left a bunch of people to die.
That's always a bad sign. So what's Cat's Paw for AFF?
Cat's Paw was an Alpha Flight module.
Alpha Flight Canadian superhero team?
Canadian superheroes. Yes, my absolute favorites. Cover for this was drawn by John Byrne, the co-creator of the team, and was writing their comic book at the time.
Oh, cool.
And very interestingly enough, this module came out, like, I don't know the timeline, but like not soon before the entire team lineup broke up. So I believe there's at least one character in here who is dead by the time it was released.
Oh, that's a drag.
Oh, but
no body, though. So. Yeah. Destined to come back.
Disintegrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, destined to come back.
Are you familiar with the Alpha Flight story?
I am not. I think I read one arc, but tell me again, because I can't remember. I know that they're Canadian. I know that you're Canadian.
They're Canadian.
And I know that there's a Yukon dude, and that's where I'm. Is he a wolf? No. What? Talk to me.
Alpha Flight, you've got Sasquatch, who is a former NFL player and scientist who goes up to the north to give himself gamma powers and ends up turning into a big furry guy. Spoiler, it's not just gamma powers. You've got Snowbird, who's half Inuk goddess, half RCMP officer.
Oh.
And you've got the twins, North Star and Aurora, who are French and super fast.
You've got
Shaman.
Yes.
Boy. You've got Shaman, who is a indigenous sorcerer.
Okay.
And you've also got Puck, who is a very acrobatic little person.
Oh.
Who, he's very cool. He's got all these neat stories. He always talks about, I used to hang out with Ernest Hemingway and all this stuff. And this is back in the 80s, so it's conceivable that, you know.
Okay, so he wasn't immortal. He wasn't immortal. He was just in the 80s.
He was even for he was a bit too vigorous for some of these stories.
Sure.
Except there were some supernatural elements to his background.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
And some of them were the story, once it got told, probably should have been better left as what a neat background. That's mysterious. We'll never find out the reasons. And there's also Marina, an aquatic alien from Newfoundland.
Okay.
And I always love to think about that, because you've got an alien undersea adventurer with I always thought of her having a very thick Newfoundland accent. You ever watch Come From Away?
No, but I do watch Burax Mysteries.
Oh, there you go. The Newfoundlanders have a very distinct and beautiful accent. Yes. I'm not going to try and do it, because that never turns out well. But
oh, yeah, I can't do accents either. But people should look into a TV show possibly called Coming Away.
Come From Away is a musical, which was recorded and broadcast on Apple TV.
Okay.
It's about Gander, Newfoundland. I don't know if you heard about all the planes had to land there during 9/11.
Yes. And how they all became a very tight-knit community. And it was a play first, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think I heard about it when it was a play. And then Apple made it into a film?
No, they recorded a production and broadcast it.
Oh, that's neat. Did you know that there's a video game? I think it might be Elder Scrolls. That because I don't have Apple, and this is where my brain went, Justin. It was I thought about how could I get a hold of it, and I was reminded of something that isn't that I don't support this, the torrent system, but Elder Scrolls, there's a horse character in Elder Scrolls called Torrent, so that if you ever try to Google Elder Scrolls Torrent, you just get pictures of the horse.
Oh, that's very clever of them.
Yeah, they're doing they're just trying to troubleshoot their own income, and they're not wrong. So, but I may one day get Apple just because there's enough things on it that I should see.
Just so we don't go too far off.
Bring me back.
No, I was just going to say they have a show called For All Mankind.
Yep.
That's an alternate history space race story that I absolutely adore.
Okay.
And Ted Lasso. So, you know, if you want to just grab yourself an Apple subscription for a couple weeks, those are two things you can binge very enthusiastically.
Okay.
That's some good airport lounge watching.
Right. As long as I got the Wi-Fi. And
Yes.
But so
back to the superhero RPG.
Yeah, so back to Alpha Flight. Alpha Flight is your favorite. And you can play those in the Marvel role playing game.
Yes, you can. You can play any member of the team. They're all included, I believe. Let me double check. In the there's Aurora. I've got a copy of the Judges book here.
Okay.
Which shows Aurora and Box, and so all the Alpha Flight members are included in the game. I think they also came with little cards for each of the characters.
That's kind of cool.
So, if you know, it's like you clip them apart. So it's like there's a thing, you know.
Yep.
How do you feel about doing that?
Okay. I love that. And then the advanced books, you wrote down four of the books. There is a Fantastic Four compendium. I'm just currently reading the Fantastic Four, and I never read it before. It was hard for me to get into. But I believe it is Dan Slott currently writing it or wrote it to get me into it. He might not be actually currently writing it, but he got me into it, creating characters that I cared about, you know? And then there was a spinoff that I don't think he wrote, but it was where the Invisible Woman was actually a spy for Nick Fury.
Yes. You mentioned that to me the last time I was here, actually.
Oh, really?
I think Mark Waid wrote that. It was very enjoyable. Oh, I appreciate you mentioning that.
Always good, Mark Waid. He's currently writing a Superman that I can't read, just because it's hard for me to read a Superman, even though Mark Waid's dorkdom was Superman. I am reading a Zdarsky Batman, though.
Yes, I see he's doing that now.
And it's amazing, quite honestly. You have a DC Heroes game one, too.
There is, yes. There's a few DC Hero game that have been released. I'm going to just poke out. Hopefully I'm not poking too far off screen.
No, you've weeded off a little bit, but, you know, what are you going to do? It's a podcast.
Here we go. Chip Zdarsky's Civil War II, featuring Alpha Flight and Justin Trudeau.
Oh, I've read that.
Yes. Where he boxes Iron Man.
Yes. Oh my God. That is insane. But that's a really good one. I the Alpha Flight that I read wasn't because they're a real superhero team, right? It is never the tongue in cheek that let's say the Great Lakes Avengers is, right? The Great Lakes Avengers are a joke, right?
Alpha Flight has always been a little tense. It's like it's written as a family, but a fairly dysfunctional one.
Yeah.
And like, if you ever read the first 12 issues of the Burn Run, none of the characters are together. The entire team is not together for the first, like, from issue 2 to issue 11. Like, it's all like, you know, here's these two people over here. Here's these two people over here. Here's these two people over here. Here's Snowbird having a solo adventure where she fights in a blizzard, and there's two blank pages with lots of speech balloons. Yes, because there's like snow, and it's like speech balloons, and she's describing what's happening because you can't see it. And John Byrne got paid full rate for those. So good for you.
I thought you were supposed to show, not tell. yeah. So what? Yeah, so we've got Children of the Atom, Avengers Coast to Coast, Ultimate Powers book, and Fantastic Four Compendium.
Yes, those are the four big books that they released. You know, that basically had everyone in the...
So this is all 1984 to 1990, right? And then then they're done. 6 years. They produce, what, like eight books?
Oh no. That's according to this article, they produced about 50 supplements.
Oh, did they? And how many do you have?
Lots of modules. I'd say maybe a quarter of them.
Okay.
They produced a really neat book called Realms of Magic that really expanded how to play magical PCs. Ooh. And, you know, that one actually had like three different books inside of it. It was like, you know, one cover with like three different books in.
Okay.
And, you know, it had, this is how to make a PC. This is how magic works. And a book full of super magical characters, like you got Doctor Strange, you got the Dormammu, you got the Klingas, and you got the Aaron Mordos.
Right. Were there any female characters? Were there any women sorcerers back then that they... Was Scarlet Witch magical? Was Emma Frost...
I don't know if Scarlet Witch was in that book. Yeah. They definitely had Clea and Umar.
Oh, they did?
Well, you know, I don't know if... I don't know. Steve Ditko, I don't know how he felt about the fairer sex. But there were not a lot of female characters in the...
Well, sometimes you write what you know. And so that's what
sometimes
I always
say. Sometimes you write what you think your audience wants to see. I mean, it's like, I think they were still going as... They thought they were mostly boys. They didn't realize that there's just as many girls reading it, so...
Right. And it's since Shakespeare. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
And except for keep making it better. But when you go back in time, you just got to, you have to look for the similarities. And so I did. Hello, Snoopy. Okay. So the Nightmares of Future Past.
Oh, yes.
That was in the 80s too. Who was that? Chris Claremont?
It was based off of a 2-issue story.
Okay.
In the X-Men, where in the future, they turned it into a movie. They adapted it into a movie. There are a lot of differences made. But basically, Rachel Summers, who was the daughter of Phoenix and Cyclops, which was a story that was told after Phoenix had died. So I'm not sure what he was looking for at the time.
Right.
She was going to come back. But yeah, so their daughter used her psychic ability.
Her name is Phoenix. Yes. Go ahead.
Yes. And it's sort of her thing. But yeah, so, you know, Rachel sends Kitty Pryde back in time to stop the assassination of a senator. And all that cool stuff happens. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the really neat part of it is it's set in this far future dystopia where mutants are hunted by giant robots and society is treating them as, you know, it's a bad situation.
It's a bad situation. And the Sentinels are there. But it doesn't look like anybody who isn't a mutant is living their best life either. That's what Right. It feels like a dystopian future for both sides of the coin there. They might have wanted to not create Sentinels because as much as they're hunting mutants and stuff, I bet you the freedoms of regular God-fearing Homo sapiens are not, it isn't going well.
Well, I mean, I look at it this way. A giant robot will come down, scan you, and, you know, how mutant possible are you? Because basically, you know, there's normal people. There's people who might have a mutant kid someday. So they got to be kept an eye on.
Right.
And, you know, yep. It's a future thing.
It's a future
thing. How many people is that going to be?
Yeah, that's – and the Sentinels, not ever – were there any good guy Sentinels? Could you play a character as a good guy Sentinel?
I mean, conceivably.
Yeah.
I mean, like, any character could be heroic if you did a good story for it. And I think at some point there were actually Sentinels guarding the Xavier School.
Right.
During some superhero thing. I missed that. I didn't catch that story, but I just saw some of the, I saw some bits from it. And
yeah, that's what must be jogging my memory when I read that. I currently cannot read the X-Men. There's too many. So, but I do want to wait. I did just read Judgment Day, and I do have something coming up here, but it's, and I do read a little bit of the Crackle. Yeah, I'm lying. I'm reading some X-Men. But right. I will say that in Runaways, they had a good guy that was a god who ended up being one of the gods, okay. that he's currently sort of there. He's going to high school and he's playing on the football team. He was essentially one of the gods who was sent to kill all the runaways, but he chose not to, but then he was starving to death. And it turns out he just needed adulation. So he goes out for the football team.
There you go. Perhaps he could have become a TikTok musician. Who knows?
Exactly. He's going to be an influencer. So,
But Nightmares of Futures Past was a four-part adventure series. The first part was very much like general sandboxy stuff. It's like, this is how you survive as a mutant underground. This is how you build things to hide from the Sentinels. This is how you strike back against your Sentinel oppressors.
Okay.
And, you know, here's some loose adventure stuff. The second one was a much more traditional adventure module where you have to fight. You know, you fight back, you rescue a mutant who can be of great benefit to the underground. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then the third book allows you to start turning around the conflict. You know, you can get some Iron Man armor and use that to fight back against the Sentinels.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and then the fourth book is like how to, you know, it outlines how to resolve the great conflict between the Sentinels and between the Sentinels and mutant kind and humankind.
Okay. Wow. That's neat too. I like it. You know, when I first started playing tabletop RPGs, I just wanted to kick indoors and fight monsters, right? Very munchkin. Still like it. Used to, we played D&D for 17 years. Some days, and it would be once every 6 to 8 weeks, we would play for 6 or 8 hours. And, and there would be these, some days were political days, where you had to go talk to the Goblin King, or you had to go to the university and research something. And I would just be exhausted. And now I have a little more interest in that sort of leadership role. I mean, that's what you learn, I think, in different tabletop games, whether you play a superhero or it's sword and sorcery stuff. You get to play these different roles that you don't get to play in real life. Especially as a child, where you can play any gender, you can play any power level, you can play fighty, or you could play magical, or you could play charming, and you can eventually want to be that sort of leader who negotiates with goblin kings, and that is Lee Bennett, and which is one of the guys we play with. And I might be getting at that point, but I am only 17 years into playing as opposed to the rest of you people who
17 is a good run. I mean,
we were godlike.
A lot of time at the table.
Yeah. We also played champions. We played, you have champions listed on here.
I do.
That seems to be an exercise in math.
So mathy.
So much.
I had an interesting journey going to Champions. Let me just check. Marvel, you got the Advanced Books, Cosmos Cubes, Cosmos. Oh, yeah. Those are some of the highlights. Let me talk about Champions.
Okay.
As I mentioned, it's my second favorite superhero RPG game.
Okay. Well, then I'm glad I skipped ahead because we are at 30 minutes and I'm like, let's talk a couple of big superhero RPGs. Yep.
This is the Big Blue Book for Champions 4th Edition.
Okay.
And, so nice. when I was in high school, I was playing every Sunday with my friend Dave and his group, and it was very dysfunctional, as is not uncommon among high school D&D groups.
Okay. How so? How did it manifest in this particular case?
Well, I mean,
his girlfriend
was playing and she walked all over him. And his nephew was playing and he was a bit of a prick.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sometimes it is hard to get a group together. That I remember when I first met Andy, I told him I didn't want to play games because I didn't like them. And he said, that's because you have siblings and you've been playing with your siblings. I've been playing for 20 years with these people. I have 40 close friends who I'm willing to game with. Started out with about 100. So know in your heart that you got to weed through and find people who like to play games like you like to play games.
Your play style is so important to match up, and it's hard. It's just like, you know, like any other relationship. Are you simpatico? Are you compatible? Yeah. Is it going to work?
Okay, so there was some drama with the first champions.
There was a little drama. And, you know, basically, you know, especially because the girlfriend thing, you know, she's like, I want this. And you're like, all right, your character is this. And I'm like, do I have to stand up for myself more? Or,
You know what? There's always, if you've swallowed the book, there's always someone who's swallowed the book who's just like, well, let me look it up. Is that possible? And then you find out it isn't. And then whoever wanted that is disappointed.
Yeah.
But in this case, it was just a pass.
Then I went to a store in Kingston called Trollsbane, which was very nice suburban game shop, which was a close walk to my high school when I was in grade 13. So I could go down there, you know, spend my A&P money on whatever I liked.
Yes.
And it was, and I found the Champions book and fell in love because of the mathiness.
Really?
Because you could go, it's like, you know, well, you know, this costs character points and I did not, it didn't spend character points on that. So you don't have it. Oh, too bad. You know, I can conceive of that. I've played it like maybe 4 or 5 times in my life.
Okay.
But it is, you know, I like it. I like the whole, it's like, all right, you get number of actions equal to your speed and there's 12 actions per turn and da, da, da. And it's like, it all made sense. It was all like, you broke all the things down into these very fine points and this is how it works.
Okay.
And,
it is broken down into a great deal of minutiae. What I did enjoy about it was the fact that sometimes you got to roll like 30 dice.
So many dice.
So many awesome, giant pile of dice. And it was very satisfying. And is that D6s? Is it six-sided dice that you're writing? That's it. Okay.
And somewhere. You know, it's probably in...
Justin Mojada, by the way, at the Bitter Guy, is looking on the shelves. He's gone to the long boxes, you guys. He's gone to the shelves to see, to find something.
I do have actually dedicated hero system dice.
Okay.
That the six is this dude up here. But I don't have that with me because...
They're buried somewhere.
There is. This room is a nightmare. You're lucky you can see shelves and they're like so pretty, but no.
Right. The angle is very important.
Fire trap.
Right.
Yes.
I should do that to change my own imagery. There we go. It's just, it's essentially, it's comic book storage. Wait a minute. I'm going the wrong way. That's comic book storage. And then above that is a box that has my character sheets for a couple of different games. I've been on D&D game occasionally with Brian Posehn for his podcast. And I'm in nerd poker game. And then I do a couple of, I've been two Hero Instant games. But Champions is, let's talk about, how do you create a character in Champions?
You basically need to not have a lot of friends. So you sit in your living room and
you look at charts, what you like. Right?
So yeah, there's lots of charts, lots of math. You know, it's like there used to be a base number of 250 character points and each attribute has a different cost. So if you want to buy your speed up, that's like 10 points per level. And if you want to buy strength up, that's 1 point a level because speed only goes up to 12.
Okay.
But, Yeah, and then, you know, you pay your points. You can buy powers, and you can add modifiers to it. So if you have a negative modifier, it'll reduce the cost of your power, but it might not be as useful. But if you want to, say, give it an area of effect or some other benefit, then it'll be more expensive.
And you, and those are the points you get, 250 points. How do you earn more points in the game to add to your – you have to level up?
In play. You know, it's like, okay, you know, every session you get like 2 character points or something.
Okay.
And thankfully there's no hero point attribute, because that usually sometimes also – like, to go back to Marvel, I don't know how characters would have advanced in play, because it was like buying up an attribute level. It's like, you know, going back to the thing –
The character, the thing.
Yeah, looking back to the attributes, you know, it's like a remarkable attribute is anything from 26 to 35.
Right.
So, you know, I don't recall the actual cost of buying it, how much karma it costs, but you had to spend your karma, which is also used in play for modifying roles. So,
okay,
there's far too much economic working going on there that I save that for the grade 10 class.
Right. So someone wants to get into superhero role-playing games. It's easy right now, I think, to get into the D&D because they've created sort of a kit. I saw them at Target, and we bought a couple. But it's essentially it's a little bit of plug and play. There's stories that you can play, initial stories you can play. It's set up so that you can play at least the first couple of adventures in this box. But if you want to play Champions, which is a current game, right? There's still editions, or
I think they're up to the 6th edition now. Yeah.
So this is something where you could go in and feel overwhelmed, and you just have to. I mean, is there story when you open up even the 1990 Champions book? When you open it up, you read it, because that's what you're going to do. You don't have anyone to play with initially.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, I'm just going to look at what this game is. So I'm going to read the introduction. I'm going to read the beginning. And then you're going to get an idea of what the game is. Does it work like a book, Justin?
I mean, it worked like a book for me.
Right. Not for everybody, but you were in. You were on board.
I was in. I bought in because it worked. It was a fairly, you know, it was like it was very well laid out. Very, you know, it had that very helpful how to use this book section at the beginning.
Okay.
And so you have the rule book for hero system at the beginning. Then you have the champion section. Then you have like the actual, you know, then you have a very nice group of superheroes, a sample group of superheroes, you know. So right, you've got like a martial artist, an alien brick, a jaguar who's a transforming beast person, Quantum who's a pretty lady who flies and goes pew pew. You have Solitaire, who's a super psychic, and Defender, who's got a superpower suit. And you know, that's like here's 5 iconic types of characters, and here's how to you can play them in Champions.
Okay.
I mean, I have no idea if, you know, I don't know if anyone has a good introductory thing for their superhero RPGs lately. I know I bought this, which is the current Marvel RPG.
Okay.
Which actually has not come out yet. This is the playtest.
Okay. And what's it called?
Marvel Multiverse role playing game.
Okay.
Uses the 616 system. Marvel Comics publishes it.
Okay. And the 616 system is what?
You roll a three D6.
Okay.
And I think the 2 dice you're trying to get higher, and if you roll a 1 on the 3rd dice and 6s on the other 2 dice, you've rolled a 616, which is a benefit thing.
Okay.
I've not actually tried it.
It's a little Yahtzee.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's being developed by Matt Forbeck, who's a really great RPG writer.
Okay.
And he's done all sorts of stuff over the years.
Okay. And what about Matt Forbeck?
I think he's a Wisconsinite too. I don't know,
it's a lot like Canada. It's a long time. And Andy has written in the margins of your notes about Marvel Saga, Marvel 3-part gem game produced by Marvel, and the Marvel Heroic Role Playing by MWP.
Margaret Weiss Productions.
Okay. He's wrote, it's very hard to get a Marvel superhero game because there's too many unsupported attempts. And they all come out differently and are, because like Saga, the three-part game produced by Marvel, is not the one that you just showed me, the playtest. No. And the Marvel
Saga was, yeah.
And so these three and the one you just showed me are all three different game systems, right?
Yes.
And they're Saga different was, from the original one?
Yes. The first one was produced by TSR. The second one was produced by Marvel.
Okay. Also Saga? Is that Marvel Saga?
Saga was the TSR one.
Okay.
These are the Marvel Universe role-playing game.
Okay.
Very early 2000s.
Okay.
And
nice. Yeah,
the Marvel Universe role-playing game guide to the Hulk and the Avengers, because apparently the Hulk was the selling point. The Avengers was like, yeah.
Right. Remember that there was that TV show and it was Spider-Man and the Hulk were the only things for so long. That is fascinating.
That's why they sold them. You know, it's like, that's why Marvel sold the rights to Spider-Man and the Hulk, and they ended up keeping the Avengers.
Okay. So you have, we weeded off back into Marvel, which makes me go to Mutants and Masterminds.
Yes.
That's
a very interesting game. How much do you remember of the D20 license?
There's a note that says that this is an open license offered by D&D. You could make any kind of game so long as it was mechanically equal to a D20, a D60, a D
D20, yeah.
D20. Okay. D60. What is that? It'd be a 60 sided die. Anyway,
that would be terrifying. That would never stop rolling.
It would be tight.
It would just
be, or enormous. It'd be
have to be hefty. It would just a brrr.
Right.
It just
so,
purrs.
Yeah. What is the D20 license? Start from the beginning, because he has started in the middle.
The D20 license was basically when they released Dungeons & Dragons 3rd Edition, they were like, okay, we kind of got hurt. You know, TSR kind of got wild releasing all these supplements and modules and settings, and it got a bit much. We're going to try and focus on probably for this creating the core rule books. So we're going to offer a license where people can make D&D supplements.
Okay.
And so, you know, for a while it was like, here's a D&D adventure. Here's a D&D monster book. Actually, White Wolf managed to release their creature collection, the same Gen Con where D&D 3rd Edition came out, before the D&D 3rd Ed Monster Manual was released.
Oh, wow.
So if you
I've
wanted to play
White
D&D,
Wolf. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I could go deep into there, but
That's not
so
superhero,
like,
right? Yeah. We're just doing superheroes today. Yep.
We're just doing superheroes, but they did release a superhero RPG.
Oh, did they?
We'll pull back around to that in a second, but they released a creature book at the first same Gen Con where the first player's handbook for 3rd Ed was released. So, you know, as you went on, people said, well, what can we do that's a little not D&D? So Wizards of the Coast actually released a book called D20 Modern, which was my preferred version of the D20 engine. And they were actually working on a superhero supplement for that, but it got canceled because the line basically got terminated, as I understand. I may be wrong.
Okay.
But that's how
you remember it so far.
Yeah. But, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. If not 30.
And,
so.
Yes. So Green Ronin produced a superhero game called Mutants and Masterminds. That was it got rid of leveling for one thing. So you had your character was set at a power level, and that's what you played at.
Oh.
So as you went along, your character would get, you know, you could make changes to them, but you know, you wouldn't like get the, you know, they'd go up in level on level, get more power and change the scope of the game. Scope of the game was pretty much set when you started.
Okay.
And it's fun. You know, I've played it once or twice, and you know, I don't recall a whole bunch of it. I have a few books here that were written actually by a friend of mine, Chris McLaughlin.
Okay.
Wrote a couple of adventures.
Right.
Time of Crisis and Time of Vengeance.
Okay.
And a very neat book called Mutants and Masterminds Noir.
Okay.
Where it's all basically set in the 40s, fairly low-powered characters, getting into horrible personal decisions and having to suffer the consequences because
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what, and that's a very neat take on it. And yeah, so they've been publishing Mutants and Masterminds for several iterations now. They're on their third edition.
Okay.
We skipped a couple things.
Sure.
Because I mentioned here that they produced a Wildcard supplement for that. Are you familiar at all with Wildcards, Jackie?
Not offhand. What is Wildcards?
Wildcards is a shared universe created by George R.R. Martin.
Okay.
Where basically it's based in a superhero role-playing game. It started out as a superhero role-playing game.
When did George R.R. Martin create the Wildcards universe? Prior to Game of Thrones?
Oh, decades before Game of Thrones.
Okay.
This is his college superhero role-playing game.
Okay.
And they're like, they created this thing and they all said, well, we should write books about this. So they wrote these shared world anthologies where basically aliens come to Earth at the end of World War II and bomb it with a super bomb.
Sure.
Which kills 90% of the people who get exposed to it.
Okay.
Horribly mutates the other 9, but 1%, they get superpower.
Oh, and they're better looking. And
very handsome, and occasionally they're real jerks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, so it's very much, he kind of was leading in on, well, him and the other writers, because there was a big group of people who wrote it.
Okay, the Wildcards.
They all created different characters, and they wrote the stories where they all interacted, and yeah. They were fun. I have no idea how in print they are. I know they're making new books.
But, okay. Did you ever read them?
Oh, yes. Love them.
Here's what I always think of. Did you ever read the Patrick Rothfuss 2 out of 3 that he has never finished?
I've never had
A Leaf in the Wind. Books. No, I forget what it was called. I enjoyed it. But what I actually enjoyed the first one a lot better than the second one, because the second one was just more of the first one. It's just really... and what it felt like was he had created a D&D character that was had minimum flaws and maximum abilities, and like he was raised by bards and he was the best bard. The wagon train that his parents were in was burned down in the forest. He becomes the best ranger. He ends up in a city where he becomes the best thief. And then he gets accepted to this wizard school where he becomes the best magician. And now he is retired. He is telling the story of the past. And he is the best bartender. It is very, very weird.
But he makes a mean martini.
He's also the best fighter. I forgot about that. But he's the guy's really, he doesn't seem to be much of a ladies' man. But he's the best bartender, which might lend itself to whatever's going on in Patrick Rothfuss's world. God knows. But were they like that? Were they sort of D&D characters then on their adventure? And it might have been the D&D adventure?
No, thankfully.
Okay.
The group was able to basically write, like the first book covered like 40 years of stories. It's like, this is the alien invasion. Oh my God, what's happening in Vietnam? Oh my God. This guy went to India and saved Gandhi from being assassinated. So India and Pakistan never partitioned.
Okay.
And it's like all the ways superheroes can change the universe.
Okay.
So they did a lot of neat stuff, and everyone was intensely fallible.
Okay.
And so the problems.
Yeah.
And so they avoided, oh, this character is so great. It's like, he makes things better for some people, but everyone else is gonna
really, that does sound like what an actual superhero would do. I mean, not Superman, right? Where you're just like, well, flawed characters.
They've got a restaurant on, near the top of the Empire State Building, run by an ace who's got levitation powers, but he's mostly just a rich guy. Mm-hmm. Runs a fancy restaurant, but it's really good. And so it got developed as a Superworld, I think, RPG. That was the game they were playing, and they turned it into the books. And then Steve Jackson Games, who runs GURPS,
right, as
a superhero supplement for GURPS called GURPS Supers.
Okay.
And he was like, hey, George Martin, let's write a GURPS Wildcard supplement. So they did a couple supplements for that.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, which is about as much as anything ever did. And then Mutants and Masterminds also did a wild card supplement. So it's sort of a rotating license.
Right. And it feels to be like sort of a, it's blown up in the last couple of years, all of this tabletop stuff, but it started with, you know, people who are essentially 60, right? Or 65. And they're, you know, a little bit older than, you know, older than me, but, and, you know, 10 years older than Andy or whatever, but the, but they all were like, we all want to do this. And the guy that was older than all of them was the Gygax?
Gary Gygax.
And he, it's never been this popular. It was sort of mocked, and then it was feared.
Yeah,
and then
it was a bad time in the 80s. Yeah.
It was a bad time in the 80s and 90s. It's sort of like the validation of science fiction itself in the fact that these games are now valid, really powerful games, really super fun games that create, I think, community. They can help very shy, introverted kids, you know, learn what they like to do, what they might want to do, and what they enjoy, you know, and give them some social skills and some real life people to hang out with.
Amen.
Yeah, right. So it's kind of neat that they're blowing up among, you know, like people who played initially and then people who, oh, look who's here. It's Andy Ashcraft. Would you like to talk?
Hello.
Please talk to him because we're at the Hero Institute.
Oh, very good. How are you?
Yeah. Good, Andy. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you. I came at the right moment.
Yes. We've gotten to that section of it.
Right. So I hear you've been messing around with that old stuff I've got up online.
I've poked through it. Yeah. It seems interesting. I like. So would you say is it more of a story based game than a?
No, it's pretty crunchy. I mean, all role playing games are story based to some extent, right?
Well, yeah.
But no, I think that like the mechanics are meant to be sort of semi crunchy. You need it's more like your powers are more like spells in D&D. So, okay. You know, if you know what your spell can do, you kind of have a better sense of what your hero can do. And then
does it require a certain level of system mastery?
Hopefully not. I mean, as a game master, you probably need a little bit more than the players do.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think and we're actually working on an app, an online tool to help the game master, because it's got an interesting time tracking mechanic. So instead of there being turns, different kinds of actions take different amounts of time. So if you want to do something that's just like a thought action, like turning on a force field or something, it just takes a quick think. Because I played a lot of Champions, so a lot of this stuff you'll be fairly familiar with. You know, that's very quick, whereas, you know, running over and hitting somebody is a longer thing.
It's involved.
It's more involved. And so it takes more time. And what this allows for speedsters. So people can actually do things faster and people who can go further, you know, in different ways of thinking about speedsters. And it also allows for people who have time powers. So there's basically a big timeline. And as you take actions, you're just moving yourself along the timeline. And the next person's turn is whoever's at the back of the timeline. So, yeah. And it also allows you to do interesting things with like interruptions. So if you have enough time, you can interrupt somebody else's action. Like the enemy, you know, the enemy's marksman shoots at the mayor. Well, you have time to go, all right, I have time to do something about that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Interruptions of opponent's activities.
Yeah.
That's a very heroic thing.
Yeah. 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 So if you ever want to play, I'm happy to run a game.
I will definitely
talk to
you about that.
There's a bunch of people listening and this is true for everybody. So yeah. And then teach you how the system works. And then, it'll be published at some point. I'll self-publish it. And
I meant to ask about that. You thinking about doing a crowdfunding campaign for that, or just gonna?
Well, so here's what
pull together a PDF.
I'm gonna pull together a PDF, and then also have a book available. As I've got a friend of mine who publishes, on demand, is an on demand publisher, and so he'll be the publisher of note, and he will publish it on demand, but here's sort of my business model, and I'll run it by you and see how you think about it. I want everybody to give me $1 when they play the game. So as a game master, you would just collect collect $5 from your 5 players, and then Venmo me that money when you play it. And if you can't, and if you don't, if you're a high school kid, you don't have dollars, then fine, play it for free.
That would certainly be a very interesting way to do it.
It's sort of like shareware.
You know, I think you'd probably be that's hard, especially as like, because one thing I think we both are aware of, gamers are very cheap.
Yes.
So.
Yes. But that's okay. I mean, we ultimately get rich, and we pay for games that we like. So, Wizards of the Coast did all right.
Yes.
It is insane. I will say that as a business venture, it's insane for me to think about like, hey, let's join this overcrowded superhero RPG market. Really?
It's fun. Honestly, it looks like it did give me some echoes back to TSR's Marvel Superheroes.
Yep.
And a little bit of Icons too. I don't know if you've looked at that.
Yeah, I haven't played it. I have it. I've looked at it because, research.
Yeah. I got a bundle of holding of it. That's eternally a bad idea on my part. Sorry, Alan, you've gotten so much of my money.
There's another one that you should look at too. A friend of mine published a game called Capes, Cowls, and Villains Foul.
Oh, cool.
And it's great. It's much more storytelling-y.
Excellent. I will definitely take a look and try and find that.
That's one. That's a plugola. All right. I'm happy to run a game. Like I said, let me know and we'll do it. We can just do it over Zoom. It's easy.
I would love to.
And I'm going to give you back to Jackie for her show, since it's her show.
Hilarious. Yes, there was some technical difficulties, and then swooped in like an angel, Andy Ashcraft. We're at an hour.
We are. Okay.
Just so you know.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, as always.
Justin, I think you were on a year ago, so we could do this every year. I keep meaning to have Gary Will, other people on, who I like to have on the regular. And then this dog would like a walk. That's what I know. So, you've done vital work. It was great seeing you in Toronto last week. I have been talking to Justin Mohanab, and it's at The Bitter Guy on Twitter and probably other things, or his name. So find that out if you want to talk more about RPGs, tabletop RPGs.
When I talk about capes, I'm always available.
Sweet. Thanks for doing the show, man.
Thank you for having.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?